Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Go. I'm an auditorium.
Go.
Welcome to Dialed In. We're very professional here tonight.
I had to get something in once.
I'm Wade Reed.
I'm Aaron Pescucci.
We are joined by our producer, Chris Lindstrom.
Go.
Who is, I think, maybe temporarily done talking about Calgary. I think we got him to take a breath.
Temporarily. There's more to come.
There's plenty more. And we are joined by a very special guest tonight, Adam Almansoub from Albon Coffee. And Adam, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Super excited about Albon. Super excited to see what y'all are doing. And just the fact that like you're already expanding, which I hope we're going to talk about a little bit.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm ready to dive right in, guys. I've had kind of a week, so I don't really want to talk about it. Aaron,
it's okay.
I imagine you're in similar boat.
Yeah, we're at my school. We're going through accreditation right now. So
yeah,
and I'm in one of the classes they want to show off because I'm the maker place. So we do all the fun things.
It's a unique class. It's not just like a math or English class, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. Teaching kids real skills. So
I had like four tours come through today. All I think teachers, parents, and then all my administrators are walking in too. So it's like
perfectly non-disruptive.
Yeah, totally.
Fantastic. All right, Adam.
Yes, sir.
So tell us about yourself. Who are you? How'd you get into this?
Well. My name's Adam Almansoub. I moved here from Yemen at the age of six. I came to Rochester, went to school in the city of Rochester, graduated from Gates Shiloh High School. Was a student at MCC at Brockport, got my bachelor's in criminal justice with a political science minor.
Oh, wow. All right.
I was in Virginia 4 years ago. Well, for 4 years, I moved back here. Last year, I got up with a couple of friends, friends and family. I had to come back, I'm back here now doing what I'm doing now.
Cool. So, before Albon, any previous coffee experience or?
Honestly, no. I grew up in a Yemeni household. Coffee was a very normal thing. Wake up in the morning, that's the first thing you drink, whether awesome. You're an adult,
yeah.
Younger people, starting at the age of six, you'd have some tea. We grew up around that culture, so.
Cool. Yep. That's amazing. Like, do you have, like, really strong sense memory of like, coffee and tea and, like, all of that from
yes.
when you were, like, that is, for me, like, just one of the most amazing things, that every now and then, a certain scent of coffee just takes me back to my mom's house when I was like 10 years old and I had my
exactly.
first cup of coffee.
Yep.
Like, you guys ever have that? Like, I just, that is, how much does that like inform, you know, what you're trying to do with Albon and with like, you know, playing on some of the cultural heritage of coffee and that.
Yep, exactly. And that's, like you said, the aroma, just remembering what you had as a child. We have some traditional coffee drinks as well. Besides espresso, we have the Sanani, we got the Turkish, and the Mofoar, every single one has a distinguished smell to it. And going back to the experience, there's a lot I didn't know about coffee until like in the past year. We had to do a lot of research. We traveled to multiple places to, you know, learn about it. We even got the chance to see coffee under a microscope, like to see the difference between dry coffee, you know, fresh coffee. And it was very interesting. A lot of information and a lot of stuff learned. So it's been a great experience so far.
Where were a couple of those places?
Dearborn, Michigan. We went to Vegas. Where there was an event there. We also Seattle, Washington.
Cool.
Seattle is very known for coffee. So we were up there, and we worked with a third party company that they were in charge of like our training and all that stuff, like getting us introduced to such thing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering a little bit because when you mentioned Dearborn, is that where is that kind of the epicenter of this kind of coffee house in the U.S.? Is that Dearborn where it started?
Yes, that's where it all started. I believe in 2017, the first Yemeni coffee house opened there.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I was trying to figure out like where did this start in the U.S. and Dearborn, not to mention, is the obvious center. I'm not sure if you guys are super familiar, but Dearborn is one of like is the capital of
Middle Eastern population.
I was gonna say, is it a big immigration area? Yes. There?
It's highly populated.
Okay, and really dense of many different countries as well. So if you're looking for very traditional Yemeni or Lebanese,
you got Syrian, Iraqi, like all types of food.
That
like,
is amazing.
If you're like into Middle Eastern food, that is the spot to go.
Like, do we know why Dearborn? Does anyone know? Like, do you have an explanation?
I personally do not know. When I came to the U.S., that was the first place we arrived in Michigan because my grandparents were there.
Oh, wow.
And they've been there since the 60s, 70s. So.
Okay.
But
and then why Rochester?
Honestly, I ask myself that every day.
I'm a transplant as well. And I'm just like, I don't know how I got here.
Well, I grew up here and I still ask myself.
Wow, that's really amazing. So you got connected to more of kind of a centralized movement.
Yes.
And then you're just taking that and making that like your own and doing it your way. Like, that's really incredible. How would you describe Al Boone to someone who hasn't been in yet? Like, how do you put it into words?
So with Al Boone, we try to bring something different to the city, something that shows our way of life. If you go to a Middle Eastern country, for example, Al Boone, we open late hours, 12 a.m. every day.
Wow.
And businesses, like if you go to Dubai, you go to Turkey, businesses open late. Everything opens after sunset. And that's what we brought here. We want to give people the opportunity to have that lifestyle as well. Because me growing up, I didn't drink. And, you know, our place to go and gather is coffee shops. So
yeah, they're definitely. Like,
let's bring something different. The atmosphere is different. You're talking about the high ceilings, European style, hot aesthetics. So, you know, something different, give people a different alternative to go hang out, grab some coffee, and, you know, just do what they got to do, study, chat.
Yeah, so the thing I noticed a lot about a lot of these kind of places is that the design aesthetic is very strong, right? Like, these aren't, it's not a blank room that just happens to serve coffee. There's a very purposeful design that seems to be used across a lot of the places in not exactly the same, but this, you know, oat style, a little bit classy, and, you know, with all the desserts and everything has this class.
Yep, exactly. And we try to bring that class for those people who experienced it, like, you know, immigrants. They come here, they don't have what they used to have back home. And also, you're given people, the locals, they've never seen stuff like this. They come in there like, I've never seen a coffee shop like this. So, you know, just bringing in something different that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, and in every kind of choice, right? Like, from the design aesthetic all the way down to, like, the drinks that you're putting out, too. Exactly. Like, you even named some methods that I'm not even sure. The one you named before, Turkish, is one that I was like.
We got the Sanani or
Sanani.
Before?
Sanani.
Sanani. So tell us about a Sanani.
Sanani coffee, it's a dark roast. It's like Turkish coffee. It's very similar.
Similar, Same kind of like with the Ivrik, like with that same apparatus? Yeah. Or
So like the method of making it or?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you obviously boil it. You put it on the boiler, let the water boil. You put a certain amount for that certain. Because at Al Boone, we do it individually For right. every individual drink, we boil it separately. You can make a bigger pot, but we don't want to lose, you know, we want to give people that, you know, the taste yeah, that they deserve,
that.
You know?
I love that.
So, and sometimes people do complain about the weight, but I mean, for that drink, it's, I mean, it's worth it.
What is the weight there for that?
For that specific drink, it's 8 minutes.
So it's a, you know, an epic time, right?
Yeah. And you got to let it boil because you have, once it boils, it goes up to the top. You lift it up, put it back, let it boil 4 times. And then, you know, I mean, you want to have it right.
So what's the main difference between that and Turkish?
The Sani, you know, Turkish,
yeah.
they're made the same way.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Same yeah, yeah. The Mufawar is a different one. It's lighter. And it has evaporated milk added to
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Some sugar as well.
It's really interesting how that definitely gets connected in people's minds to like Vietnamese coffee, but you don't mm-hmm. realize like yep. this is same kind of thing happening in traditional Yemeni coffee too. Yeah.
And part of that, like we wanted to bring bring people's attention to our coffee itself. Some people don't know the history of coffee. People don't know that coffee actually, the first cup of coffee was brewed in Yemen. And
do you mean by that?
So,
I would love to have this conversation because that's an interesting take, and there's a sense in which you're right, and there's a sense in which you're
yes.
in which that's like
so
a little
right
bit
now,
of a stretch.
There's a conflict between Ethiopia and Yemen in terms of who made the first cup of coffee. So according to historians, it was first harvested in Ethiopia. Yemen started buying the coffee and then they developed, they cultivated it.
Yeah, it was the first ever commercial production
exactly.
took place in Yemen,
yes.
right? Like we're gonna grow it to sell it,
yeah.
right? The first ever time in Yemen, absolutely.
And another thing that a lot of people don't know, mocha, the word mocha itself, that's named after a Yemeni city, Mocha.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where coffee was sold. It was eventually processed to India, Asia, and throughout the rest of the world.
Yeah. So when you say first cup of coffee, are you saying that what they were doing in sort of Central and Eastern Africa wasn't technically cups of coffee?
So,
is that how we're splitting hairs here? I'll go with it, man. Like it's a, you tell me.
So from what I researched, cause you know, like I said, we did plenty of research. And I mean, throughout the, you know, tradition, family, they'll tell you, oh, yeah,
absolutely.
We made coffee. It's always been. And I mean, I've read on it and I mean, there's a lot of different views on it. But most of the, you know, articles I've read, it's harvested in Ethiopia, Yemen, then, you know, began COVID and they studied, they turned it into the drink it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if not for, you know, commercial production in Yemen, mm-hmm. it never makes its way to Europe. We don't have yep. it in the West at all today. So yeah, that's, I mean, is that piece of like cultural identity, is that like, as part of your mission, is that the thing you get
yes.
most excited
yes.
about?
Yes.
Is that the thing that like the brand gets most excited about? Like, or do some of your other partners go, actually, you know, I want our coffee to communicate this or that? Like,
we want to showcase our culture at the yeah. same time, you know, you yeah. educate people and you give people something good to drink. I mean, besides just coffee, Yemen was known for a lot of things back in the days. I mean, by the Romans, it was referred to as the Arabian Felix, which is happy Yemen.
Yeah.
This is due to, you know, the progress they had in terms of trade, in terms of spices, and the Gulf of Aden. It's a very important port.
Yeah.
In the Asian world, so a lot of stuff go through there into Asia and the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's really like it's a main artery
yeah.
for like
yep.
a lot of world yes. history. Absolutely, yep. That's incredible. And like, so how do you kind of balance like it's so part of who you are, and your clientele probably looks a little more like me.
I was gonna say,
and I don't have that background, so like. As a company that taps into that history, that cultural heritage, like what kinds of challenges are you facing? You said people complain that, you know, the Turkish coffee takes it, or not the Turkish,
I mean,
the Sinami
it's
takes
it's a minor
eight
complaint.
Minutes.
I mean,
yeah,
once you
yeah.
talk to people, me personally, and I know my partners as well, we love it when someone comes in, like you said, someone like you, they come in, they don't know nothing about Yemeni coffee, and they ask us, hey, can you tell me more about this? and we love to explain it. Just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we learned as well. And coffee in general, like,
yeah.
Me personally, dark roast. I used to think it's stronger coffee. I was like, I need a dark roast today. I'm going to go study.
Yeah, right.
The lighter the roast, the stronger the coffee. So that's something
I mean, again, that's a take, but.
So hey. What's the experience like, you know, if I were to walk in and look at your menu and I say, you know, pour me a Tsunani or whatever, however I might decide to order that coffee, right? Given you know it takes a little bit longer, are you informing them at that point?
Yes, yes. And I mean, we tried to make it quicker. We bought newer pots. Now it's, I think it's shorter than 8 minutes. It gets done.
And just to be clear, I was just more interested because we've had some, you know, places that pop up and they're putting something new out and, you know, people have their preconceived ideas of what a coffee shop is.
Yep.
And you're going to be dramatically different than...
You're intentionally breaking those ideas.
A lot of people. And so I'm imagining that you are getting people walking in being like, where's my mocha latte or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
So just curious how, you know, you tap into that and deal with that customer, you know?
I mean, we try, you know, to, you know, guide them through to other options, something that's similar to it. A lot of people ask for drip coffee. We offer Americano. We're actually working towards getting that as well as decaf. A lot of people ask for decaf. So
decaf's huge. Yeah.
We're trying
especially
to bring
if you're
that
going
to
be open late, right? Yep. And yeah, absolutely.
We're working on bringing that option hopefully the next month.
Very cool.
You know, anything that, whatever the demand is, we try to bring it to you know, people and have, you know, all the variety of. All the options, what people like, refreshers, matcha, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and the, you know, looking at the menu, like they do have lattes, they do have all those things as well. Mm-hmm. So like this isn't, it's not just, this isn't just pure original traditional. This is still serving the public with matcha, and there's Nutella, there's mocha, there's caramel macchiato. Like they're delivering what the people want. And I think generally speaking, you know, something we've all talked about a lot, you know, people like generally, you know, a lot of people like the more developed roast in their in their coffee for those kind of sweetened milk drinks.
Yep.
And that seems to be, you know, for, you know, for the drinks that you're serving, that's kind of the direction they've gone in.
And people enjoy trying new things. Like you've got people who come and try the Saudi coffee, and Saudi coffee is also a light roast. And traditionally people who like Saudi coffee are like, older in age, cause it's not sweet. It's straight, coffee called kahwa. And then you got the younger people that come for the lattes, Nutella, and more sweet. And, also in terms of sweetness, some people, they don't like their stuff too sweet. So we tell them, hey, we can always adjust it. If you want it less sweet, we'll make it less sweet for you.
Absolutely.
So we try, like I said, we try to, you know, give the people what they want.
When you're talking about like something like the Saudi coffee, is that something you know about from your background, or is that something you learned along the way?
Yes, it's something we know from our background as well. It's I mean, Saudi Arabia is close
right
to
there.
Yemen.
Yeah.
It's right there. So we share some of, you know, in terms of coffee, food, and all that stuff, we share a lot of culture.
Awesome. Yeah.
Between the two countries.
Kind of wondering, so for a place that's on, you know, East Ave, right? Like in, you know, in that kind of, that part of the city, what's been the reception in the community? Because we'll talk about food in a little bit, but what's been the reception in the community? You know, the Yemeni community in Rochester, which is smaller than Buffalo's.
Yes.
Of course, but there is a Yemeni community here in town.
There is, yes.
What's been the reception in the community from the Yemeni people and, you know, the people from the general region?
I mean, they like how busy it is because, you know, I mean, East Ave, at one point, it was less busy in the last couple of years. But I feel like we had we helped it come back and, you know, speed it up and have more foot traffic. And it, people enjoy that because, like I said, Yemeni, if you go to Yemen, it's very, it's constant traffic, foot traffic. It's like, and people like that.
There's a comfort in the little bit of hectic.
Yep. Yeah. It's like a New York City vibe.
Yeah.
So
you're not alone.
Yeah.
Like, So Friday, Saturday nights, what is your, how busy is it? You know, that's a big bar district and, you know, are people just walking by or are you getting a crowd?
Yes. So those are obviously the busiest days in the week. And believe it or not, we get a lot of traffic at night. It's very busy. And I mostly after 8 o'clock, that's when everybody starts coming. And then you got other people that go to like the bars. But there's also a police presence there. They do the barricades where they create the line. People are checked. But you know, we had to attend a few meetings with the city and get ourselves out of that.
I was just going to say, so you got unbarricaded? Yeah.
Really?
That's fantastic. Yeah, so, I'm glad to hear that. That doesn't seem like something Rochester would do.
Yeah, because at one point, like our customers would get ID'd and stuff. You're like, bro, they're coming for a cup of coffee.
Seriously, we don't even serve out. Oh,
yeah.
God.
So I had to talk to them, and
I'm glad you got around that. Yeah, honestly,
worked out well.
When you're talking about like that vibe, that busy vibe, and how like the Yemeni community has responded well to that, was that a consideration, like a factor in getting like your current location?
Yes.
And then like your second location?
Yes.
Which is
Costco. By Costco.
By Costco. Yes. Oh, wow. So, yeah. So. Not as much foot traffic, right?
Not as much foot traffic.
I mean, it's definitely cars in and out, right?
Yes. And then you got City Gate. There's a lot of stuff coming into it.
Okay.
There's two hotels coming. You got the Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, and then Topgolf.
I didn't know about any of this.
Yeah. So that basically fills up the majority of that space at that point between those three. There's discussions of other things, but Topgolf takes up a big chunk of that.
Is it the big building where City Gate Liquor used to be?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's one of the big ones.
I worked there for almost a year.
It's and I think that's a really interesting thing because there's a lot of the, you know, of the West Asian community that is in Henrietta. Yep.
Because
there's a chunk in the city and up towards Greece.
Yep.
But there's a bigger chunk in Henrietta.
Henrietta, Brighton area, yep.
Yeah, and I think that's a very smart move because I think almost many of them have opened in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think opening down there is just that little avenue to get to that community a little bit easier.
And then, I mean, it's
close to the U of R too.
It's close to the U of R. You got Strong Hospital. You got MCC. You also got the Islamic Center of Rochester. It's down the street.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another thing we try to get because Ramadan comes up and it's an entire month. I don't know if you're familiar with the month of Ramadan, but
well, I mean, tell us everything you can say, because
you can go ahead and share.
I have degrees in religion, but like I assume most of our listeners don't.
Yeah. So obviously, the month of Ramadan, Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset, and until 5 o'clock. Well, for every year it's different. The time changes.
Right.
Sometimes you break our fast at last couple of years. The latest was 9:30. So you had to fast from sunrise till 9:30.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this year it's great. It's like 5:30. And that's when the nightlife comes in. And that's when the coffee scene comes in. Everybody, that's, you go, you fast, you go home, you eat, you go to the mosque, you pray. And then everybody goes somewhere to hang out. They play cards, chit chat with family, and
I don't think I've ever thought about this. Is coffee excluded during the fast of Ramadan?
Yes. Water is excluded.
Water is
during
excluded.
The day. Yeah,
I don't think I realized that either.
So nothing.
Nothing.
From the Catholic background, it's just you know, eat fish.
I mean,
right?
More self hatred.
Self hatred. Yeah. Just be really sad.
No, there's something special about it because there's still a purity to it, but I think that end of day, that community part, is I think the part that's resonated with me. You know, as a non-religious person, that part of it has always felt really comforting.
Yep. And
for my friends who are, you know, my friends and restaurant owners and other people I've worked with that are part of that community, that end of day, that really breaking of fast, the community really comes together.
Together, yep.
I know he's not like a close friend, but Muhammad from Levantine Syrian Cafe out in, out on the west side. You know, they do limited hours for non practicers during that time period because they do so much business at night.
Yep.
And they're just making plates for the community, for, you know, for families, and everybody is supporting those businesses. Yes. Everybody is bringing that stuff, and it just feels like a great way to come together.
Yep. And it's somewhere where you can bring the community together. And to mention, in terms of hours, we plan to extend our hours during Ramadan till 3 a.m. So it's going to be 7 a.m. to 3 a.m.
That's wild.
Yeah, and like I said,
and it's going to be a party because it's the community coming together.
Yeah, it's going to be it's a busy month.
All right,
that's not even to talk about the end of Ramadan.
Yes,
which is just this, and I've been to a couple of those events at, you know, Islamic cultural centers and other things. I mean, Eid is just it feels so joyous and celebratory.
So who do you have working behind your counter during that time? Is it, you know, other Yemenis or?
So my partners are all three of them, they are working. So the upcoming Ramadan is going to be our first Ramadan because we opened last 6 months ago.
Okay, sure.
So we haven't experienced Ramadan rush. We did experience one Eid.
Yeah.
And that it was a busy day. It was great.
Awesome.
Lots of people. We had kids and, you know, we were planning some stuff for the future. Besides that, we also got Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming up. We're involved in a couple of giveaways, food drives and all that stuff. So, you know, we try to give as much as we can.
Well, and one more thing that I wanted to ask about that, because, you know, I've worked at some places that, you know, during certain areas, they want you to work late. You know, 1, 2 a.m. And you don't get that expectation in a lot of coffee shops. So I was curious who it was. So if they're part of the party, they're excited to be there during that time, right?
Yes. So for Ramadan, most of the employees will be probably Yemeni. Depending on the other,
right.
If they're willing to volunteer, great.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you want to go home and sleep, that's fine.
That makes sense too.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Cool. So I think we're going to take a quick break here, but I'm really looking forward to hearing more about like how you personally got into this and then how you relate to coffee a little more. Yes, so, Chris?
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Matt from the Anomaly Presents podcast. I want to take a moment to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts on the Limpshore Podcast Network. It's Common Thread. Rory Van Grohl and Greg Benoit talk with their guests about how the values, philosophies, and sense of community found in hardcore punk has influenced the trajectory of their lived experiences in unexpected ways. It features organic discussions that illuminate how hardcore punk is the common thread that provides continuity throughout our lives and connects us to one another. It's Common Thread on the Lunch Door Podcast Network, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Do you feel like life is a lot lately? Yeah, same. I'm Emily Hesney Lynch, host of It's a Lot, a podcast about social media, parenthood, and beyond. We talk about the all-consuming, weird, and wonderful stuff that makes life a lot. Tune in for honest conversations with parents, social media experts, authors, content creators, and more. New episodes drop every other Tuesday. Check out It's a Lot wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Welcome back, and we are here with Adam from Albon, and I'm curious, Adam, what is your day job? How did you get into this? Like, how you specifically arrived at one of the four partners at Albon?
So the four guys, we've been very close since our childhood years, and two of them did own a wholesale. And we were in their warehouse. We were just sitting, drinking coffee.
Of course, and,
excuse me. But the coffee we had was from Yemen. A family member brought it in when they came.
Awesome.
From visiting. And we had our little small espresso machine. So we were making it. And we were like, what would happen if we open a coffee shop?
No way.
And the idea just went off from there. We started doing research. We started looking for a space, and we found the space. We signed a lease. We're like, there's no going back.
I love it.
So we had to start doing a lot more research. There were times where we were like, what are we going to do? But we overcame. We traveled. Like I said, we learned a lot.
About what time period was that process? Like, how long were you doing that? Like a year, year and a half?
A year.
About it? Yeah. Like just a whole year of dedicating, we're going to get this thing going. Yep.
So for us non-business owners, were you paying rent then on your lease, or how's that work?
So we were able to get a couple of months where we don't pay until we began working on the spot itself. We've had to bring in the contractor, and that we took advantage of that time where the contractors were working on the space. We traveled, we did our research. We had a third party company that did our training. They helped with the menu. They helped with the majority of things.
That's awesome.
And it's Yemeni owned as well. So
so they like totally saw the vision.
Yeah.
They were like,
yep.
Yeah, probably very excited to support y'all. Did so I'm just going to take a step back here for a second. Did y'all see that Outkast was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
What?
Yeah.
And Andre 3000 said the coolest thing, and this is such a perfect example of it. He said, big things start in small rooms.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, like you said that, I was like, oh, it's so true. That's really amazing. Just like four friends.
Yeah.
And
how many of us have had that conversation too?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, this started in a driveway.
Right. And well, I mean, yeah, like whether it's Fifth Frame or now AM FM and where Aporia is at now, like absolutely. It was just these small conversations along the way. Like genuinely don't know what it might've been that made Eric invest in Aporia. You know, it was probably some just conversation we had that I don't even remember. Right.
Sure.
So like, it's really amazing to hear that y'all literally just were like, let's make espresso. Yeah. What if we just did this?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What was the machine you were brewing on there?
I think it was a Breville.
Okay.
Heck yeah. Those are great machines. Yeah,
they're great machines.
I love Breville.
And it's so impressive that that conversation actually came to fruition, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were expecting it to, you know, become a thing. But we kept pushing each other. I mean, we've always had the thoughts of starting something, we just didn't know what, but then we found something that we love, that we're, you know, we're passionate about, and here we are.
And that you could do together.
Yep.
And yeah.
Having four people, four great minds, like the guys are great ideas, helpful. Someone's struggling with something, help them. And we found everyone's strengths, and it worked out. Everybody's got their own responsibilities, and we trust each other. We have the expectations. Hey, you got to get this done to get this done. And, you know, it's going.
That's amazing. I've been in a situation with three partners before. I'm really curious how four partners goes. Does everyone sort of fit into a role, or is it more organic like you were just describing? Sounds like it's a lot more just guys being dudes and being there for each other and a business coming out of it. Like that's really.
And the youngest one is 24. So,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a perspective.
Oldest is 30.
Okay.
So,
wow. You guys are little puppies.
So much energy. Yeah.
We're able to agree with each other. You know, we're like, let's do this. And, you know, we just set standards and we just went by that.
So, what was the first big fight?
First big fight.
There's got to be something where you guys were throwing chairs at each other or something.
Trust me, there is.
Probably like since you were kids, right? Like you're Trust thinking back me. To like playground, right? Like,
I'm thinking when we started this. I mean, it happens. People are going to disagree, but at the end of the day, we found something that everybody's satisfied with and we just went with it.
So quick story here. I was working at a pizza place in high school and two brothers were the owners and they had a bunch of high school workers. You know, they had maybe a college student who was like a manager, but for the most part, it was this. So I walk in after school one day, we're getting ready to open, and these two guys are literally throwing chairs at each other in the dining room, like 10 minutes before the door is supposed
to
open.
This is a scene from The Bear.
Yes, it is. And I'm imagining four people. There's got to have been, what was the argument about? You don't have to tell us what it was or who it was, but there
really
was an argument.
To this
it
narrative.
Was about an application that was filed and it was done without due diligence.
See,
and
I knew there was something.
Paid money for it, so it's
okay. Yep. And that's frustrating because that's they make you deal with a lot of red tape. And then anytime anything like hits a hiccup,
And then in the beginning, when we first started, it seemed like some of us that like to do the research, they like to look into things.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're doing more than the other, and then some tensions start. But then when we were able to regroup, we're like, hey, let's, you know, let's be on the same page. Let's put equal effort into everything. And it worked out.
Well, and I think that's the way to make something sustainable too, is sometimes you need those, you know, those little exhaust valves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And having the ability to actually work through that.
That's what I was going to say.
Is the important part, right? Like where you say,
it's a marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you, and I've been in this situation too, where you feel like you're doing more, and it is really tough. It's a really hard feeling.
Yep.
And when you're, and realistically, sometimes it happens, right? The balance does just shift because.
Absolutely.
And that's how you know if you have a good group. If you're able to overcome, you know you got the right group. Just keep moving forward.
And you guys are probably stronger now.
Yep.
Going through all that.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So we know what went through the past. We know let's not let it happen again. And
I'm curious if y'all think you're going to stop at two locations, or are you going to just every opportunity that presents itself, just do you have a vision for that, or do you have a plan for that?
Yes.
Yes.
We're actually thinking of expanding.
Awesome.
Hopefully. We've had several proposals from within the state, outside of the state, and we're working towards that. So
any of you have business degrees, business experience?
We have business. All of us got business experience. All of us, our families had businesses somewhere in the city. So we all do have some business experience.
Do you want to shout those out?
So me personally, my family, we owned several stores. Lake and Ravine was one, I think. We had in the 90s, Glide and Maple, we had one, current one, 743 South Plymouth Avenue, my brother owns, and the others, we got Genesee, Chai Lai, and then the wholesale, they have on Lexington Ave, and the wholesale distributes to all the stores and stuff.
Okay.
Are those all neighborhood stores?
Yes.
I was gonna say, it's like little corner store type things.
Corner stores, yes.
But you're also supplying all of those and others.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, that's the big part of the business, is doing the distribution and being able to supply multiple stores.
Yep. And that was owned by two of my partners, and I think they deviated from that, and we're trying to focus on this because we also have a plan to eventually distribute the coffee locally. We're also planning on roasting our coffee locally, because right now we have it roasted out of state, but our roaster should be arriving sometime this week.
So. Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. What'd you buy?
Honestly, I don't even know what they got.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, when it comes to roasters, it's the only time I turn into a gearhead.
I don't know anything about roasters. I'll be honest with you. But it's one of the newest. I think it's an automatic one. It looks cool. and actually, we're gonna put it in the space.
That's what I was gonna ask.
On East Ave, so people can see how it's roasted.
Oh, that's amazing! Yes. On East Ave, I was expecting you to say on Henrietta. That's fantastic.
I didn't get another one.
Yeah, yeah. Get another. Go for it. Yeah.
just add to the coffee smell in
just
Henrietta.
Keep going. Yeah. Just keep going. That's fantastic.
That's where the Tim Hortons roastery is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think
you couldn't
that's
pay
in the
me
big...
to know that answer to that question.
I think it's in the big industrial area.
Yeah.
South where like the big FedEx is, I think it's down in that area.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I mean, one, it's, that's awesome to, you know, to hear the plans for expansion and moving forward. And, you know, I think, you know, disconnecting from some of the, you know, the originators where it seems like some of the stuff is pollinated now to other cities where they are facilitating that.
Yep.
It seems like,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of intrigued. So from talk about the dessert side of this, because that's a whole nother side of what's going on here. We've talked a lot about coffee, but something
this
where
is
you
a
see,
coffee podcast. No, I'm
yeah.
just kidding.
But when you see the pictures, a lot of times you're seeing these intricate, you know, desserts that are coming out.
Yes,
how does that all work, and how did you decide on the style of desserts?
So it goes back to coffee shops. Back home, Europe, if you go to Europe, if you go to other Middle Eastern countries, it's all about aesthetics, attracting the eye. And mostly somebody comes, buys a cup of coffee, they see the pastry, oh, I want to try it. And our pastries, we have some Middle Eastern, we have the Eastern European pastries. And we're also working with Special Occasions by Tanya's on Make Street. We're contracted with them. It's Ukrainian owned. And I think she makes the best pastries in the city.
There's some crazy stuff yes. that she's doing. And yes. some of those almost, not quite photorealistic, but these fruit-shaped things yes. that are just stunning.
Yep, and the flavor, too. Like, we also have some house-made. We had to get several people get the cottage license to be licensed to make pastries out of home.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes.
And from the community?
Yes. That's incredible.
So.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We many options.
I think it's really cool because there's an interesting thread here just from my experience. When I went in and I saw the pastries, it reminded me a lot of what they're doing out at Elvio's. And you talk about like the kind of European aesthetics mm-hmm. behind the pastries, and they're very Portuguese inspired.
Yep.
And like you can absolutely see that like European thread between like the similar aesthetic to your pastries and theirs. And so it's really cool to hear you say that and just a really interesting connecting point, even though what you guys do is all so incredibly different. There's that common element there just from kind of a similar place of inspiration.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and fire off our last question unless you guys,
I'll have a food question at the end. Cause I kind of want to talk about, you know, that side of the community for a minute.
We can hit that. Yeah. Go for it.
So in Rochester there right now that I'm aware of, there's only one Yemeni restaurant.
Yes.
That's Halal Yemen up on Ridge.
On Ridge.
And made some really tasty food.
Yes.
Because I've had I had a few things there for the first time. I got a chance to work with them when we were running Nominate. Mm-hmm. I think we got to bring salta lamb to people to bring some of those traditional dishes. And then I got to learn about how tandoors were used
yes.
in Yemen from, you know, colonialization and the Indian presence as well.
Yep.
Do you think that the coffee shop, you know, thing could also develop into seeing more Yemeni food in Rochester?
There's actually, there's a restaurant, Buffalo, a Yemeni one, that's coming to Rochester.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's I think the most known Yemeni restaurant in Buffalo.
Okay.
They're coming to Ridge Road as well. I don't know if it's west or east.
Okay.
But
give us a name.
What is it called?
It's not that well known.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
If you can look it up.
I'm sure. Yeah,
I'll figure it out.
I am back and forth to Buffalo a lot right now, and I would love to check it out.
Yeah, it might be Almandi, or I'll figure it out while we're going. But
yeah,
I just love to see, you know, in, you know, West Asian cuisine here in Rochester. That's one where you only see the one, and like there's kind of one Iraqi, like there's one Persian. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have Palestinian right now.
No.
And that's, I'm always hoping to see just more representation yes. of the specific countries because they are so different and the history, you know, the history of the food is different. Yemeni food is one of the more different
yes,
in the different. Region, especially with, you know, the British influence and the Indian influence. It's really different, despite yep. being so close to Africa as well.
Yep, that is. Like you said, you got the British influence, Indian, you got the Ottoman influence as well.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, and also with the growing population, not just the Yemeni population in Rochester, but you got a growing population in terms, like you said, Palestinians, Iraqis, Syrians. There's a lot of Syrian population. And there's a lot of restaurants. Most of them go towards Henrietta, because Brighton area, actually. Brighton, Henrietta, because majority of the population is there.
That's where the audience is. Yeah.
But, yeah. In the next 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a lot of more Middle Eastern businesses coming
something
to Rochester.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Mm. That's awesome.
So you'll see that growing, even in terms of coffee shops, like Yemeni coffee shops. And hopefully it doesn't get too saturated.
keep opening things until they close every Tim Hortons, every Starbucks, every Dunkin'. I'll say it to the day I die, like until all of that stuff is closed, we got more space for you. Like, it's all community over competition as far as I'm concerned, because like that stuff is so subpar, and you can bring a much richer experience doing what you're doing And if it's through 10, 20 locations, mm-hmm. the more the merrier. It's
people like, who care about the community, like you yeah, said. I mean, exactly. We want to give something that, you know, the people love.
Yeah, I think the big one in Buffalo is Almondi Restaurant.
I think it's the one.
Almondi.
Okay.
It's probably that one.
Yeah, because it's huge. It has yeah. just like, when I went in on a, it was like a Wednesday, you know, the place was just packed.
Yeah, it's
people.
Always packed. And it has like, they it was smaller at one point. They
doubled
expanded,
or tripled
yes.
in size. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just looking at pictures of just the bread, and I'm like, oh god, I just want to drive for yeah, that so, like so now.
Bread.
I'm excited.
I'll meet you out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, because they cook in tandoor because of the Indian influence, so they're actually doing tandoor bread that's served with a lot of the dishes, and it's just I love the regional mm-hmm. the region's food because you can see the crossover between countries like we yep. talked about, mm-hmm. but also everything is history.
Yeah.
Right. Like. Yep. Wade and I will learn about
we'll probably
stuff,
be very geeky about
but
it. Yes.
History, you can always taste history in the food. And as soon as I saw it was cooked in a tandoor, I'm like, wait, why is this cooked in a tandoor?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just looked into the history of, you know, the British history and the Indian workers that were forced in there. And I'm like, oh, this makes sense. But it's become part of the fabric yep. of the cuisine. And now it is heritage,
yep.
even though it was forced. Now it is... Mm-hmm. Also the cultural food and the heritage of the country.
Yeah, and honestly, Rochester, in terms of like having a mix of and a variety of restaurants of different, like I said, I lived in Virginia for what, 3-4 years. There wasn't as many options as Rochester.
To where in Virginia?
Alexandria.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the options there, even like the whole DMV area, DC, Maryland, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
I still think Rochester had more options.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to hear, and it's great to see it grow. So, no, I'm excited to see just see the continuing build of community, mm-hmm. and that maybe you have people who are going to answer this question with your place. Well,
I got one more before it comes
oh, go
up.
Ahead.
When people walk in, what should they order? What's your favorites there?
Oh, my favorites.
Like, I've got. Like, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to get, you know, a coffee, a pastry, and maybe something else. You know, what would be the order?
It's a tough one. I mean, everyone has their personal preference, but me, I like my curtados. Like, I get a curtado with a pump of caramel sauce. That's I go in, the guys already know.
We'll call it the Adam.
Yeah. No, that's good, like but it. Honestly.
Pastry?
I like the pastry.
No, which one?
Which pastry?
Yeah.
My favorite would be the hazelnut toffee.
Ooh.
It's a square chocolate looking pastry. It's made by special occasions.
Sounds great.
You also have the Yemeni traditional honey bites. That's the one with it's bread, yep. Cream cheese in the middle,
oh.
and then we drizzle it with honey, and then... Well, we heat it up before and then drizzle it with the honey and you serve it to the customers. It's very good. We also got the baklava, the Nutella baklava. And then, I mean, it's hard. There's
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of options. Sure. You try everything.
Every day you come in, yep. you feel a little bit different. You get something a little different. Okay, so go. Final question. Describe for us the best cup of coffee you've ever had.
The best cup of coffee I ever had. Gotta be Mama's coffee. My mom's.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Hell yeah.
So.
I feel
so
that.
What about it? Do you remember, like, what's the thing that you remember specifically?
It's just a childhood thing. I mean, like, there's things you remember. Oh, I used to have this. It was so good. And you crave it. And sometimes you go places. It's not the same. You can even go to like a Yemeni coffee shop and they're making Yemeni tea and you're like, that's not like my mom's. She makes it better.
I love that.
Sometimes I know for me, there's things where I know I could technically make it better, but I would never change it.
Yep.
For sure.
And there's something specific about that. And I'm not a nostalgic person generally,
mm-hmm.
but there's something about that.
Yeah. It's just
that feeling where you got to taste that for the first time mm-hmm. and feeling like you're part of...
Exactly.
It's part of the family.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And that's why I said my mom's.
Yeah.
That's, I love that. And
so cool.
Yeah. Maybe Adam, we shall hire her.
But. There you go. When you start roasting, right? Like, yes. She could be the taste tester. That's what you need. You need to make sure it's to mom's standard. Mm-hmm. I love that. So, Adam, thank you so much for coming out tonight. And, like, this is really inspiring. I'm really happy to hear your perspective. And, like, I think you couldn't get two more different approaches to coffee than like Albin's and mine. And I can just absolutely see the vision, see what you're adding to the community. Yep. And so glad to have you.
I appreciate
it. And,
thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming out. So,
what's the address? Where can people find it online? So they can check out the hours.
This is why we have the producer in the chair right here. Cause I would never remember.
333 East Avenue. Off East in Alexander. You can find us on either Facebook, Instagram. We are also currently working on a website where people can also order online as well. But yeah.
What's the web address?
The website.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out there yet.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. What's your handle on Instagram? And
for Instagram, it's Albin Coffee House. Facebook as well, Albin Coffee House. So. That's follow awesome. Us and share and come through and yeah, grab a cup absolutely. Of coffee.
Yeah, love very it. Cool. Yeah, I know we had a bunch of people come out during the Anomaly Film Festival. People were coming out there and really enjoying it. So that was great. And you know, thanks for the whole community coming out for Anomaly, which is one of the Lunch with Our Podcast Network shows. Mm-hmm. We also have just now joining Rob Bell with Plants and Beats, who's also part of Behind the Glass, doing lo-fi music and talking about plants, which is going to be an absolute blast. Also want everybody to go out and vote for Best of Rochester. Even though it is a popularity contest, it does make everybody feel good when you do vote for them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it feels good to be recognized for the work that you do. We have people from Lunch Order that are part of that, including Bossy ROC for Best Podcast, Richard Cologne or Quadje for Best Photographer, Magnus for Best Artist. And I'm sure I'm missing others. I mean, is AMFM on there or?
AMFM's not, but Josiah is for Best Barista again this year. Great. So yeah,
that's pulling awesome. For him. Yeah. Vote for the people that you love. Doesn't matter if they win or not. Having that feeling of being supported is always a great thing. Mm. And if you want to support Lunch at Or, tell a friend, tell them to go to lunchador.org. Check out all of the shows and we'll be back next time with more.
Dialed in.
Got it.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Tandoor bread is for everyone.